if you have read my Facebook page at all, you know that I have basically been in the bed since Wednesday. And I'm not trying to mock Andy today. I'm not trying to do my Andy Driscoll impersonation. I am going to have this seat today. And I have taken so much medicine. And does anybody besides me, medicine affects you adversely? Like, it does me really bad. Like, Benadryl, how many people Benadryl makes you sleepy? Benadryl's like me drinking a fifth of whiskey. I want to fight people. And I've taken a lot of NyQuil, the kind you buy behind the counter. And between that and watching, you know, just having the TV on the background and obviously rolling over the remote, I think I'm going to have to go to counseling, man, because I've got this Jerry Springer sci-fi kind of stuff going on, and I don't know what's real and what's not. What mixed in with the sleep deprivation tactics of a four-year-old that cannot seem to understand that I cannot make a TV show come on just because she wants it on. Just this little belligerent person. And so I apologize. If you're visiting, I want to meet you. I hope you'll come back. I hope you'll give me a second chance. I was just too late in the game to get someone else to speak to for me, or I would have gotten somebody to do a lot better job than I'm going to be able to do today. But we are closing out a series called Go Green. And we've talked about things that just mature our lives. And God, I feel like just impressed upon me with this. And this is nothing new. If, you know, many of you have heard of Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley talks about this kind of stuff all the time. But there's a couple things as we close out this series that God uses. And I guarantee you, in every one of your lives, God has used these things. One would be providential relationships. There are relationships that God has brought into your life that were from Him, that were directly from Him to help you find Him. It could have been a girlfriend. It could have been a parent. It could have been a college buddy. I mean, one story at LifePoint, this is a true story. Now, this couple, they've moved away, but we had a divorce couple. The husband was coming to one service, reached out to his ex-wife. She came to the first service. She got saved. He moved. She stayed. Now she moved. I mean, just crazy stuff like that. But there's providential relationships that God uses. He also uses pivotal circumstances. And it's those circumstances that make you stop and say, what's going on in my life? Or that gut check, or that feeling that something's missing. That kind of, you know, that song that made you question anything. I mean, God uses pivotal circumstances. And we're going to see. And I want you to notice, just remember verse 6, just remember that, we're going to read this verse 6, that those pivotal circumstances really can do damage on you if we're not careful. But God has pivotal circumstances, good and bad, that are game changers and life builders. And He has absolutely providential relationships that make the difference. For me, before I became a Christ follower, I had a buddy, I didn't know it till recently, that he was praying for me. I was number one on his prayer list. And he was looking for a chance to witness to me about Jesus Christ. At the very same time, my dad, tired of his life, slipped into a Baptist church on a Father's Day and discovered Jesus Christ as a Savior. And those relationships, now my friend didn't get to lead me to Christ, but he and his dad got to disciple me the first 6 months of my life, my new Christian life, for Jesus Christ. And so many of you, you know what I'm talking about. God's got that person that brought you to Christ, or maybe you're here today, and that person, that's the one that brought you to today to hear about Jesus, that God loved you, that He died and was buried and rose again for you, and that He's looking for you harder than you're looking for Him. And actually, He's the reason you're even checking Him out, is He sparked an interest in your life. Well, the reality is that thing that God uses to bring you to Him is what God uses all through your Christian life. That God uses divine, that he uses pivotal circumstances, and he uses providential relationships. And I wanted to share with you just for a few moments today, and this will not be a long message, and I apologize that it's not going to be a better message, but I wanted to look at a guy named John. And it's not the guy that wrote the book that we're going to look at. It's actually John the Baptist. And so I want you to look at the book of John, chapter 1. There's a lot of Johns in the Bible, but look at this with me. I want you to see this guy because we're dropping in on this monumental situation. It's what you would expect. It's something high power. It's something very spiritual. John the Baptist, man, was from before he was born, God had appointed him a prophet. He was Jesus' cousin. He was a unique character. He dressed in camel hair clothes. He ate locusts and honey. God had a special mission for him, and it was to bring Israel back to him. We're going to see some of this in just a moment. But I want you to look at this with me because this will make sense coming from the Bible. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with water, or who will baptize with the Holy Ghost.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. He is God. He is the express image. He is the Son of God. He's the chosen one. He's the one that's going to be able to save people and die and rise again." The following day, John was standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at them and declared, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. You get this JTB, John the Baptist, the Billy Graham of Israel. I'm talking about the one who said repent, the one who came up with that word that you're going on life's way and you repent, you do the 180, you turn from going this way is going away from God, you're going this way is going away from peace, you're going this way, and you do the 180. They had not heard from God for hundreds of years in this country. They had no moves of God. They had religious stuff. They had religious rites and rituals. And some of us can relate to that. There was just a deadness and a dullness across the culture spiritually. And then all at once, here comes this guy, John, saying, repent, saying, turn from going that way. God is finished being silent. God is getting ready to reveal the Messiah. Many of these Jewish people had hoped for this thing since Genesis 3:15, and suddenly John is saying, repent, turn, and come back to God. Consider God. Consider the Messiah. Consider this one that God is in the flesh, that God will die, that God will be buried, and that God will rise again. Jesus is the one. I mean, hands down, what a great opportunity. I mean, an amazing ministry. The one who the whole country was dead spiritually, and this guy turns it on its ear. God uses him. Everybody was looking for this, to be the next Elijah, to be John, to be the forerunner, to be the one that would share this message. What was unbelievable to people, the honor that he had, and how God used him, in the amazing way that God used him, how only God can. And then you see this. Here's this guy, used by God, Jesus' cousin, said emphatically, he's the Son of God. He's the one that you've been looking for. He's the true God. He's the one that brings peace and hope. Now check this out. Matthew 2, John the Baptist was in prison. Who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing, Jesus was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? That's kind of weird. Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. That's a key verse with this. See, many times the things that bring you to Christ, a lot of times after you come to Christ, some of those same circumstances, if you don't have the right lens on, can turn you from Jesus. I'm talking about after you've known Christ and after you've watched him work in your life. John, here's why he was thrown in prison. He said to Herod, the king, he said, you can't have sex with your sister-in-law, you know? And he got thrown in prison for that. And it amazes me that a guy that from his mother's womb was anointed a prophet that could see the big moves of God that he saw, he lands in prison and suddenly he's in total doubt in his faith. But see, it just goes to show you, man, that everybody has their Achilles heel. Everybody has that thing. Everybody has that instance. Everybody has that thing, that moment that just at the right time where if God doesn't do what we think he should when we think he should, can disrupt our faith. And then the enemy comes in. There's all these insecurities arise. Your heart gets torn. Your emotions get cold. And then you go into performance mode usually after that. So you kind of have this freak out session. And so you start trying harder. And the harder you pray and the harder you try, it seems like the further God is away. And that's what John was experiencing. But John did something, and I want you to see this, and this is why it's so important to have providential relationships in your life. He reached out through providential relationships during his moment of crisis. He didn't isolate himself. He reached out to his disciples, and he said, go ask Jesus if he's really Jesus. I don't know why he said that. Go ask Jesus if he's really Jesus. I need to know. You know, is he Jesus or is he Jesus? I need to know. Because I'm having all this doubt. He reached out into this providential relationship and he found something that he needed. And I want to encourage you. This is one of the things I believe. I believe that God brings you to a place. I believe God brings people to churches. And I believe he brings them there so they can discover him, or if they've already discovered him, so they can begin to connect and they can begin to make a difference. God doesn't waste his time or your time by just coming into your life and letting you sit and soak. God places you strategically in a place where you can begin to grow. And part of that growth process is providential relationships. Here's what I believe is unique about Louisville, Kentucky. If you go to most places, they have a lot of turnover. They have a lot of people that move in and out. And so your friends, you've got friends at college and friends at work, and you've got friends all over the board. But here, you've got networks that have been going for 30 years. Most of you that are from here hang out with people that you've known most of your life. And I want to encourage you to be the catalyst, because here's the reality. You may meet the providential relationships here, like life groups, that's why we have them, so God can intersect your life with other people that are moving in the same direction as you. But it may be that God's placed you here to bring your network to Jesus Christ and form your own life group. How amazing would it be if you could get 8 to 10 of your friends that you hang out with most of the time anyways, and you guys begin to follow Jesus together? How amazing would it be, someone that you're already doing life together, you lead them to Jesus Christ, and then suddenly they're not only your emotional support, but they're a spiritual support system for you too. God, in his sovereignty, never wanted codependence. But God, in his sovereignty, created interdependence. God wants us interdependent on one another and on him. And what we do is we try to do the toddler thing. We kind of play around each other, and we love Jesus. We listen to messages, listen to songs, and we kind of go our separate way. And what God wants us to do is bond on mission. He wants us to bond on reaching the world together. And we do that by saying, listen, I need help. And if I need help, I need someone around me that is moving in the same direction of me, and that's going in the same direction as me. And I think one of the things we've begun to discover at LifePoint is, rather than trying to use life groups as a connection point, is to use it as a growth group and bring people together, and then leave it open-ended where you can bring your friends and create your own life group. Some of you have families big enough to have five life groups. Like, you're half the size of this church. I mean, it's crazy. And God wants to use that in your life. John, in his darkest moment, needed providential relationships. He needed those networks that he had established, because he could have never seen, when he was seeing thousands of people come to God, that he would ever find himself in a prison, broken, wondering if Jesus was really who he said he was. And many of you can relate to that. I can relate to that. We've come in charging the gate, and there was a time in my life when I arrogantly thought that I could do this on my own. And it wasn't because I thought I was cool or I thought I could just serve Jesus with my own strength. It's because I didn't think I needed anybody else. And over the past 10 or 12 years of my life, since I've been in ministry, I began to see the need for providential relationships. And I have them inside LifePoint. One of the most encouraging things for me recently is I'm doing a 6x6 leadership group. I'm taking certain men through leadership training and turning them loose and, you know, get ready. I may approach you to be one of those men in the next year or so. But one of the joys for me is getting with those men and just rubbing shoulders with guys that want to make a difference, and what little I can invest in their lives, getting to invest in their lives. But I get a whole lot more from it than they do by being around them and watching their faith begin to take off and watching them begin to take action. It's amazing. And some of you, the thing that's missing, you've brought people to Jesus. You read your Bible. You pray. You do all the things that help you grow spiritually, but there's this disconnect, and the disconnect may be the relational piece. And I want to encourage you today to either join a life group when you have the opportunity, or create one with your network and get them here, man. We'll give you the stuff you need. We'll give you the curriculum you need. We'll give you the direction you need. You don't have to be a Bible teacher. In fact, the worst group leaders are Bible teachers. I'm a horrible group leader because I want to teach. Teachers want to teach. The more that you're a facilitator or just kind of one of those people that everybody loves being around, you're a great life group leader. I love Jesus' answer when he said, "Hey man, are you the one?" Jesus paints him this amazing mission picture. He says, "Go back and tell John what you've seen and heard." John's a type A. He's a big picture guy. He said, "You go back and you tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." Don't quit, John. What you invested in your life in meant something. See, I think the biggest thing for most of us with our circumstances, and that's why providential relationships are so important, because if you get to a point where you have no one speaking into your life and helping you see that, hey, you're on track, or hey, you missed a step, or hey, you're looking at this all wrong, is interpretation is what makes circumstances devastating or empowering. The same incident that would cause one set of parents to turn away from God makes another set of parents lean into God. A situation that would bust most marriages up, another couple will lean into God. It's not because one is more spiritual than the other. It's not because one knows more Bible than the other, although that may be the case. The issue is the lens that you look through. It's interpretation. That's why it's so important to study the Bible, to learn the Bible, to talk to God. It's why it's so important, because that lens that it creates in your life. Because so many times what happens is we get on fire, we begin to serve God, we begin to seek God, and then our life goes to hell in a handbasket. And it begins to fall apart. We begin to wonder what just happened. I mean, I didn't have this much trouble when I was laying in bed on Sundays. What is going on? And without the right interpretation, The circumstances become something other than what God meant for them to be. God creates providential relationships to remind you of his love and to help keep you in the game and for you to help keep other people in the game, that camaraderie, that team spirit, that thing that you can only get when you're on mission together. But he also uses pivotal circumstances. And sometimes those circumstances are awesome. I mean, I remember the birth of each one of my kids, man. And each one of them were a game changer. My oldest daughter taught me that God loved me unconditionally. My son reminded me that I'm not going to live forever. My mid-30s, here comes this little, well, he wasn't little, he was almost, he was 9'7". Here comes this gigantic kid, man, saying, you're not going to live forever. And then when I was almost 40, having another baby and seeing God's blessing on my life, that he wasn't through blessing me and my wife. But there's also circumstances that if I didn't have people around me saying, Jamie, that's not what God wants for your life. That's not what that incident meant. If I'd have just kept stuff in, there's been so many times that there's been stuff happen and I've translated it through my junk, through my hurt, through my loss, through the way I grew up, through the rejection that I felt, through the season that I was going through where things weren't floating my way and people weren't on the same page with me. And that interpretation could have been devastating if it weren't for the right people in my life, those providential relationships saying, listen, man, everybody has a bad Sunday. Everybody has people turn on them. Everybody has a bad week. And it kind of points you back to that big picture of salvation, because it's so easy to forget that everything, that when Jesus died and rose again, it was like the cross is the ultimate symbol that one day God's going to set everything right, that one day God's going to put everything into perspective the way it should be. But until that day, we got to trust him. And there's going to be circumstances that say, don't trust him. And God's going to bring those people in your life that say, listen, man, you're greater than this circumstance. You're greater than this loss. God's love for you is greater. This had nothing to do with what you did or didn't or should have done. There's going to be stuff just try to rock your world. They're going to try to keep you in that prison. And you know isolation always ends in devastation. That's just the way it is. But I want you to see what Jesus said to thousands of people about John. And I use the King James on this one because I think it captured it. Because he privately told John's disciples, you go tell John that the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached. That's big picture stuff. But then look at this with me. In Matthew 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to address the multitudes concerning John. So as they're walking away from earshot, they're not only going to get the private message, Jesus is very strategic as they walk away what he begins to say. He said, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before my face, who shall prepare my way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, here comes that kind of that, you know, big picture mentality. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Watch how you interpret. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. This is that Elijah. This is that forerunner. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. See, sometimes the circumstances don't change. We don't need the circumstances to change. We just need the right interpretation brought to us by people that we trust, brought to us by people with our best interests at heart. And so with John's disciples, Jesus is heralding a message that will get to him before he's beheaded from God himself, saying, John, you were in the right place. John, you were proclaiming the right message. John, I want you to know that that prison is not your epitaph. It is not the defining moment of your life. You are top shelf. Your life counts and counted. John, you were the real deal, living out real faith. John, I want you to know you were the forerunner, and that meant that when you handed off your leg of the race, you were finished completely, John. You did exactly what I wanted you to do. Your life has amazing significance. And you don't worry about the message of Herod. You don't worry and question what those other prisoners are maybe whispering. John, your life, this is God reaffirming John. This is what he needed. Your life has amazing significance. One of the circumstances he needed it defined. And then he closes is, what are you going to do with John's story? He tells the multitude, what'd you come out to see? And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm validating John, Jesus says. And I want you to know from his life, it's providential relationships. I've given them to everybody, and I've given pivotal circumstances. And will you, like my servant John, trust me, or will you be offended in me? And here's what I want to encourage you to do before we close. I know some of you are facing incredibly tough times, financially, emotionally. Some of you are numb inside. You've heard all this before. You don't know which end is up. Some of you have tried everything else. There's a reason God has you here on this gloomy day with a guy that can't even think straight. And it's to tell you this. Turn to him. Just turn away. The doubt's going to be there. The negative feelings, the negative voices, they're going to be there. The unaffirming family structure, it's going to be there. And so what I want to ask you to do, you're not going to maybe feel like it, but the message of John, I mean, John has nowhere to go. He can't make anything happen. He can't make any calls. He can't do any direct marketing. He can't preach a message. He can't validate himself in a million different ways that he could have the week before this moment. All he could do is turn to Jesus and let Jesus give him the real meaning to his life story. Now for you and I, it's a little different. Jesus has died and rose again. His meaning's already given. He's crazy about you. The empty cross and empty tomb says that your life has meaning and purpose beyond today, beyond the prison, beyond the addiction, beyond the hurt, beyond the message of negativity of your life. The cross says something different. The resurrection says there's more to you. And what I want to encourage you today is this. Turn to Jesus. Lean in to Jesus with the circumstances and look for those pivotal providential relationships. They're all around you. You don't have to hack this thing alone. Let's pray together.